Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Disney Week at the RV Atlas.
Sounds almost ominous.
Which has become, well, price-wise, it was a little ominous. But it's become a little bit of an annual tradition for us. This is 4 years in a row of going to Disney World. I never thought we would do that. You never thought we would do that. But it's become a tradition on the podcast to come back from Disney and to talk about our experiences both at Fort Wilderness and in the theme parks. And it just so happens that those end up being some of our most popular and downloaded episodes of the year. So we're going to give you your Disney content this week.
Right. I think that that's part of why we do this every year on the podcast, is because year after year, we see the numbers show that this is a very high interest topic for our listeners. So I just want to give a shout out to all the people out there that don't understand the Disney thing, because I was you for the first like almost four decades of my life. Anytime anybody talked about Disney, I would kind of like tune out, like, that's not what I do. I went to Disney World once and I didn't really have a good time. So if that's you out there, that's okay. We're not saying everybody has to go to Disney, but you know, this is just something that our audience loves. Disney Week.
So three episodes this week, three shorter episodes on Disney this week. This first episode, Stephanie is going to break down what we did this year. After 3 years of staying at Fort Wilderness, we decided, and really largely Stephanie decided, we were going to rent DVC points from a Disney Vacation Club owner and use them to go to Disney. So a very different year for us at Disney. Then we're going to come back and we're going to do a second episode. And that's going to kind of compare and contrast Fort Wilderness and Wilderness Lodge. Now, last year we did an episode like that, Fort Wilderness versus Wilderness Lodge. But we had never stayed at Wilderness Lodge. We had walked in and looked around and thought, oh, this would be cool. Well, this year we actually stayed there. And I think that's going to be just a great episode of talking about, like, well, what's the difference between staying at Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness? Then the third episode, we're going to talk about everything we did in the parks, at least the highlights, with a real focus on Galaxy's Edge, because everyone, all the Star Wars fans, are super excited to learn about Galaxy's Edge. And we did almost all of it and loved it. So those will be the three episodes this week. So today's episode is about the Disney DVC points. But before we dive in and Stephanie kind of gives everybody an education about that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is an industry expert and innovation leader, and they've been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And if this year includes any camping trips without sewer hookups, one of our favorite pieces of gear for those trips is the Smart Tote 2. It is a portable waste tank that will allow you to easily empty the gray water during your stay, and then you can keep showering, you can keep doing the dishes, you can basically use all the bells and whistles in your RV, even though you don't have that sewer hookup.
Yeah, Max can take a shower, then I can dump the gray water.
Yeah.
Then the next day, Max can take another 45-minute shower, and I can dump the gray water. But for 2020, the Smart Tote 2 is new and improved, and we just got one. We just got a sample that we're going to be testing and reviewing. So this year, we've got new heavy-duty rubber wheels with solid center hubs and high strength bearings. The wheels on the old one worked fine, but these are upgraded wheels. You have enhanced hose to tank connections, upgraded bayonet material and design, and they have extensively road tested this all over the rough roads of Michigan.
Pothole-filled roads. I can attest to that from personal experience for sure. Now, you can get an 18, a 27, or a 35-gallon model. We personally like the 27-gallon because it's like that just right size, that Goldilocks size for us when we're traveling.
It fits comfortably in the back of the truck. I mean, the 35 gets big.
It's big,
okay, if you order the 35, we warned you it's big. Maybe you want big.
I think, did we show the 35 to Carrie Cox? And she was like, oh.
Yeah, like that's not She's going to fit.
I don't think I can fit my two sons and that.
But the 27 is their best-selling model. That's the one we use and love. But there is one smaller and one bigger, depending on what size of an RV you have.
All right, go to thetfur.com for more information. Now, just a little background for you all. We stayed at Fort Wilderness 3 years in a row. And by the end of last year, our third visit to Fort Wilderness, while I had really loved our stays there and actually thought that it was part of why I kind of had a, like, came around to Disney and was open to returning because it kind of offered a calm in the storm of Disney. By the end of that third year last year, I was kind of ready for a little bit of a change. That's just how I am as a traveler. I know that some people really enjoy going back to the same place every year. And there's a piece of me that does love travel traditions, but at the same time, I always like to change it up a little bit, try something new.
Well, I can get you to go back to a location, but then you want to do it differently.
Yeah, I always want to like do different activities.
Yeah, at Disney, yeah. An easy way to make your trip really, really different is to stay somewhere else, right?
Right. So at the end of the trip, we always have a day where we're not in the parks. We're just hanging at the campground. And I kind of like got everybody on board with resort hopping. I was like, I want to get on the monorail. The kids hadn't been on the monorail really. I was like, let's go and visit some different resorts. We went to Wilderness Lodge and we had eaten dinner there.
But we didn't get there on the monorail.
No, we walked there on the path. I'm sure people can draw their own
conclusions. I'm picturing some Disney freak out there listening.
So let them waste their time writing me an email about how you didn't take the monorail to Wilderness Lodge. We took the monorail to the Polynesian and walked around there. So we kind of went to different places. And I was thinking, where would we like to stay? And I had kind of decided by the time we left that we were going to switch it up if we were going to come back.
And after visiting the Contemporary, the Polynesian, and Wilderness Lodge, like I stayed at the Contemporary as a kid and my mom has stayed there. I don't think any of us were like, oh my God, we got to stay at the Contemporary.
No.
But after we walked into Wilderness Lodge and the Polynesian, we were like, oh my God, these are stunning, beautiful resorts. Like, we would like to stay at one of these resorts.
Well, yeah. So it wouldn't be a huge financial difference for us because if you bring your own RV to Fort Wilderness, then it is a big difference between staying there and staying at one of the deluxe resorts. But if you rent an RV like we had done for 3 years, it's not a huge difference price-wise between staying at the campground and at the resort. We didn't stay at the campground because it was a budget decision. We stayed because it was an experiential one.
And we've said that. Like somebody on YouTube was like, oh my God, you spent so much money. I was like, we know. We've never said this was a budget option.
Yeah.
Like, if you have your own motorhome or travel trailer and live close to Fort Wilderness, it is the most affordable option by far. But we don't live that close and we have limited winter vacation time. So the combination of renting a site and renting either a motorhome or a travel trailer is like $375, $380. Now, we loved that experience, but we never said it was a budget option.
No.
But as you just said,
I don't think about anything with Disney as a budget.
It's
I know
not.
People, some people do it that way, but to me, like, if I'm going to do Disney, I want to do it right. So like, that, I do feel
I
that way.
I think that just got you thinking, like, okay, if we're spending this and we're loving the experience, well, let's start turning towards. Basically, you said to me, if we're going back next year, we're staying in a resort.
Yeah, I wanted
That's
to try
what you
that.
Said.
Absolutely.
And so I went and. Because you got to book Disney so early. So I went and booked the Polynesian because Wilderness Lodge, the main building, the rooms only sleep 4 people.
Yeah.
Unless you get a super, super expensive upgraded room.
That is not only the case for Wilderness Lodge. A lot of the deluxe properties, actually, the main rooms in the regular resorts do not have a good option for 5 people. You would either have to get, like Jeremy said, like an upgrade that goes into the thousands, right, of dollars.
It was at least $800. So I was very disappointed by that because I was like, I really wanted to stay at Wilderness Lodge. That was my top pick, but it's $500 a night for a room that sleeps 4. So then that turned me over to the Polynesian. So I called Disney up and I made a reservation at the Polynesian, a room that sleeps 5 for $600 a night. I got
it was
off,
like $559.
It was just, with taxes and everything.
Right.
I got off the phone and told you, and we were both like, no, like
it just
that
didn't
is not
sit right
our.
With us.
That is just not we. Our family. That's not in our budget. That's not in our price range. That's not something either of us felt comfortable doing.
So I started kind of looking at other options. Like I was like, okay, what can we do here to kind of get what we want, but like at a price point that we're a little more comfortable with. And a lot of my research led me to find out that many of the DVC vacation properties have accommodations for five that aren't available in the regular resorts. So for people that don't know, most of the deluxe resorts have also DVC accommodations on that property. So for Fort for Wilderness
Contemporary
Lodge,
does. Yeah. Wilderness Lodge does, Polynesian
does.
And
they're called something different
Beach
in a
Club
lot of
does.
Cases.
And the buildings are usually adjacent, like right next door to the main building. So it really does feel like you're on the resort property. You are on the resort property.
So on the Polynesian, there's Polynesian regular hotel rooms, and then there's the Polynesian villas and bungalows that are the DVC member locations. So, okay, back up a second. What is the DVC, right? So we are not going to go into an in-depth discussion on DVC here, but just for the people that are like, what are you talking about here? It's the Disney Vacation Club, and it's basically Disney's version of a timeshare.
Which they'll never call it a timeshare,
no.
Of course. And I'm sure maybe in some ways it is different, but it's a timeshare. And we actually know quite a few people who are DVC members.
We have neighbors
and,
that are DVC members.
I mean, at the
yeah.
end of the day, if you're going to Disney 2, 3, 4 times a year, which I know sounds crazy to some of our listeners, but if you're doing that, a lot of people then just join the DVC and then they do save money.
Right. So you do an upfront purchase of a membership that costs a certain amount of money.
How about then, a cool $20,000?
And then, well, yeah, like I said, I don't want to get too deep into the details because we don't really research this because we'll never be DVC members. Like it's just not something.
We just won't ever go twice a year.
Yeah, I don't think so. So then every year you also pay a membership fee. And along with that membership fee, you get like a certain amount of points. And those points can be used in various ways at Disney, like with the rooms and then also other things that you can do with points too. So, you know, members have these points. Well, just like a regular timeshare, sometimes members have the points and they can't use them, right? Like I can't get to Disney and use up all my points this year. So in that case, they're kind of developed this underground market of rentals, of rental points, right? And there's a lot of different ways to do that. I heard about Facebook groups that are only for the sole purpose of connecting owners with renters for the rental points. So it's actually this pretty big world of rentals out there.
Well, for instance, I walked across the street and just recently asked our neighbor if he would rent DVC points. But when yeah. you first got onto this kick, I got to be honest, I was a little sketched out by it. Like,
yeah.
I thought, like, well, what happens if they change their mind? Or what?
Yeah.
Like, the reservation's not in our name. Or it just kind of confused me, and I shut down on it. And I was probably a little negative with you about it, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, because – no, but I didn't criticize you for that because it did feel scammy, right? Like, it feels like when I looked at the price difference between renting the points and our actual reservation at, like, the Polynesian – the price difference was so steep that it felt like it had to be a scam.
Can I just say right now the difference at Wilderness Lodge?
Well, I have. Yeah, do you have the?
I know it in my head.
Yeah.
So that the regular Disney room at Wilderness Lodge that sleeps 4 people, we were looking at $500 a night. Now we rented DVC points and we stayed in the DVC building right next door, which was beautiful. And it was a room that slept 5 people for, I think, $275 a night.
I have the total, $1,368.
For five nights.
For 5 nights.
So that's
yeah.
almost like, that's about $275
yeah.
a night.
Yeah.
That's a gigantic difference for an upgraded room.
Right. So it did feel scammy, but I dug around and like really valid Disney bloggers were saying that like David's Vacation Club rentals was not a scam, that people used it all the time. It had all these great reviews. And then on top of that, when we mentioned it to our neighbor, they've been in DVC forever. They were like, oh yeah, we know tons of people that rent through David's Vacation Club.
By the way, did you know that David's I think is a Canadian business?
Yes.
So we should have known right away there was no scam involved
because
they're
Canadians. No. They have that all through like there's a bunch of different credit card things that have to do with the fact that it's in Canada and blah, blah, blah. So they're really transparent about the entire thing. There is no, but at the same time, I still kept my mouth shut about this within our brand, like on our Facebook group and everything, because I would never want to recommend something that we hadn't actually experienced soup to nuts. So I waited until we had been through this entire experience. And now I'm really happy to share our experience because it was really quite phenomenal.
It was, Stephanie.
Seamless, right?
Seamless is the perfect word. It was seamless.
Yeah.
It really, the reservation did end up being under our name. Like, oh, I was wrong
right.
about that.
I'll
like,
tell the it, process you, now. Yeah,
yeah
no,
walk through
I'll
the
walk
process
because
nothing,
yeah.
nothing about it felt any different than
that
just booking through
it.
Disney, except some of the behind-the-scenes detail
right.
that you did with.
Exactly.
And I have to say, these DVC buildings are just as nice or sometimes nicer.
Yeah. So I'm talking about David's Vacation Club rentals and no other DVC rental thing. I really want to make that clear because I have read in multiple places that people do get scammed when they try to do it personally because it's cheaper, right? You're going to pay a little bit more because you have all this legal stuff that you go through, like a contract and everything. And I'm happy to pay a little bit more through David's than maybe on a private Facebook group because it gives you that built-in protection.
Now, I do think there are probably other great, yeah. reputable sites, but we didn't
but
use
I'm not going to recommend
yes.
it because I don't want anybody to say, oh, Stephanie said renting DVC points is so great, and here we ended up losing our reservation.
Yeah, and there's no
–
we're going to be praising David's, and there was no kickback here.
Oh,
okay?
No, no, no.
We're
they
not
don't even know,
with,
who
they don't know who we are.
They have no
just
idea.
Just had a great experience with
100%.
Them.
100%. So on DVCRequest.com, we just said, well, let's talk about the process. You can actually see all the different resort options that they have. They do not have every single DVC property. In fact, when I'm looking through it, it seems like I'm not even sure they have any that aren't deluxe resorts. I'm wondering if they only deal.
I'm not positive you're right, but I think you're right.
I
think I went on and looked for moderates, and
I don't think I could find
moderates. Maybe the moderates, do the moderates just not have DVC separate
no,
buildings?
But they do because, okay. yeah, they absolutely do. It's just they're not on there. So I think it's almost like maybe they only do this for the deluxe properties. So when you can go on in and you can basically put in the dates that you want, and you can see all the standard pricing for the dates you put in. It may not be the exact right, but they give you like this will be the standard pricing. Then when you actually make the request to rent the points, you tell them the resort you want and the dates you want it. You can also give them a backup resort. So if they can't secure that one, they can secure the next one.
I don't even
one.
Know. What did you put in as the backup? You put in Wilderness Lodge first.
No, I didn't. I put in Polynesian.
That's so funny. I yeah. didn't even know that.
Yeah, I put in the Polynesian as our first
because
choice.
They sell Dole Whips there.
Yeah.
Just to be honest. That's
spiked.
Why you picked it number
the spiked
one.
Dole Whip.
Oh, this, that I swear to God, dear listeners, that is why Stephanie chose that as her first pick
no,
because
I
they
also,
have spiked Dole Whips on property.
I also wanted to try different new things like Ohana dinner. And I was just like thinking.
Polynesian's gorgeous.
Yeah. So you request the dates and the place that you want. And then you also have to give them $126. Which again, people like scam flags.
Canadian?
No, American. And the thing is that this is not a fee or anything. It's actually a partial payment that ends up coming off of the back end of your price. But it's almost like earnest money, I think. I think they make people pay that so that people aren't
just
like
around.
Saying, oh, check this for me, check that for me. It seems like it's that kind of a thing so that they don't go through the process of finding an owner. For what your request is.
Because they've got work on the back end.
Exactly.
Now, what happens if you don't book, though? Do you lose that money?
Well, so if they come back and say, yeah, we've got it for you, and then you say, oh, no, never mind, I don't want it, you lose that money. And I think that's
fair.
The point.
I think it's fair.
Yeah, it does make sense. But they come back and they say, if they say, no, we don't have that, you do get your money back.
Because that would seem scammy.
That would be a scam, right. So they came back to me. I had made that partial payment of $126. And they came back and they said, we don't have the Polynesian, but we can check for the Wilderness Lodge if you want. And I said, yes, please. That was my second option. They checked for that. They said, we have it. And they sent me back a thing saying, we've got it for you. You have 24 hours to pay. And sign the contract and pay. Now,
let me just ask you, what time of year were you doing that? We just got back from Disney late January. How far in advance was this?
This was February
almost a year.
Well, because what happens is people have the first month, I think, of the year, and I'm not an expert on this, so don't quote me on it. But like everybody has the first month to like lock in their home resort.
I feel like it's 11 months in advance people can lock in their home resort. But again, we're not DVC experts.
So they can't do this until that time period passes. And then once all of the home resort people have locked in their reservations, then David's can go in and ask for people to rent
that
their points.
That explains something
so
to me.
So it's like a little bit of an interesting timing.
That just explains something to me. Our room in the DVC building was on the first floor at the far, far end. I will admit, initially, I was disappointed to be on the first floor. By the end of the week, I was actually really excited to be on the first floor. We'll talk about that more in tomorrow's episode. But I think that probably what happens is the DVC, the proper DVC members who have Wilderness Lodge as their home resort, probably get first pick on the rooms and are getting the upper floors. That's my guess.
Maybe, or the upper floors are the nicer rooms because we got the studio. So
yeah, that's probably true too. That more of the nicer rooms are up there.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I did it far enough in advance because I really wanted it. But now here's the trick is that because I had to pay in full. So again, there's a trade-off here. I was saving thousands of dollars on this, but I had to pay it in full. Now, to me, that's not a bad thing because it almost helps us budget. We've talked about that travel fund that I can pay out of, and now I know that that's paid for. So that was fine. I paid out of our travel fund. We canceled the other reservation. But the thing is if something had happened and we weren't able to take this trip, we would have lost that money. That would have been $1,300 that we would have lost.
Now, where Disney will let you cancel, I don't know the exact, you can cancel pretty close to the date of your trip. Disney has a generous cancellation policy.
And this
policy.
Isn't. And I knew that going in. This is non-refundable.
That's a really great caveat to make clear to people.
I mean, it was to save thousands of dollars, I was willing to. And then here's another thing is you can also maybe buy travel insurance of another kind. Like somebody who really wants to do this, like travel insurance is not that expensive. So you could like do this, but then get travel insurance and kind of cancel
You're
it out.
You're such a smarty. You should be like head of content at like a big RV company
I got travel insurance like on our land. I don't get travel insurance on a lot of things, but on certain things, I'll just throw it in there because I'm like, you know what? If somebody gets super sick or whatever, this is a big hit to take. So I make that decision.
So you did get it this time?
I got it on tickets.
One of the trips,
Our airline tickets at one point in the past year. And I can't remember whether it was this trip or whether it was the Glacier one that I got the travel insurance out just because I was like, you know what, this is enough money that I want to be careful on. So you just want to think about whether you're willing to take that risk or not. And that's always something with kids and travel.
But just to put a fine point on this, our reservation at the Polynesian for 5 nights was around $3,000. And our reservation here, you just said, was like $1,200 or $1,300. And it was an equally wonderful room. It was a bigger room. It was an upgraded room. It's hard to compare Wilderness Lodge to Polynesian, but generally speaking, it was a better room.
Now, once we signed the contract and we got our reservation number, I connected the reservation number to our My Disney Experience account that we've had for years, you know, where you get your fast passes and your dining reservations. And after that point, it worked exactly like any other reservation number that we had had. I went in, I did our dining reservations, our fast passes, everything was just like we had our own reservation, except for two things that I want to point out. The Magical Express, you have to book through David's. They have an easy website form. It took me less than 5 minutes to do it, but I guess the member has to do that. And that's just not something you can do on your own. So that was seamless. And the other thing would be a dining plan. But I didn't do that because we don't do the dining plan. And for good reason, I don't think it's valuable for us. So, and I've crunched the numbers quite a few times. So, if dining plan and Magical Express, you will have to do through David's and the owner.
But they have
the professionalized
whole
thing. It's so
laid out. There's a contract, actually, right? Yeah. It's not like you're going on to some Facebook group and meeting up with some
strange DVC
owner.
The contract is really long and detailed.
But I mean, this is highly professionalized.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. So, would we do it again?
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, honestly, I think we're at a place where we would, at this point, never book a room straight through Disney.
Let's talk about that. Okay. So something that I was thinking of was you were looking at like the Port Orleans. Now that's a
moderate.
For
like a future trip.
So when you were doing that, I was like, well, let me see what Divas has. And that was when I realized, oh my gosh, I think they only have the Deluxe.
They don't have that one.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I think I have a little bit of an idea why. I'm not sure that the price difference is as expansive, whatever it would be, between the moderate and the DVC. So like when you went and you made a reservation for the Port Orleans, like I'm not sure we would save that much going through the DVC.
Let me just give those numbers. So a moderate at Disney, Port Orleans, which is everyone says is the best moderate or one of the best moderates – for a room that sleeps five was $300 a night.
Yeah.
So yet again, I will point you to the fact that staying in a deluxe resort like Wilderness Lodge using DVC points costs less than going through Disney and doing a moderate by about $25 a night.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, the beach club looked like a good deal. Like, so I think that whenever we would want to do something, I think this is always the place that we would price something out at.
Or it's like what you would look at first and just see, can we do it this way?
Or can we get it, right, for that timing or whatever? Because we were a little bit more ahead of the curve last year with that. So 100%
it was. And I also think because we have a family of five, it just like really makes sense. Because like you said, so many of the resorts, the rooms are made for four people.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just kind of feel like this was a fantastic experience, and I'm really glad, like, it could have not wound up that way. Like, it really, I could have been scammed, but I wasn't.
Five nights in a really nice room at Wilderness Lodge.
For less than $1,400.
Around $1,300?
It was 13, I have the right, okay, 1368.
$1,368.
That was total, including
fees. And that tells you everything you need to know. Stephanie rounded up, and I rounded down. Because
true.
That's what I do with prices, and that's what she does. I Stephanie always hates when I say something like, oh, that's a deal, or that's such a great price, because her whole thing is like, Disney's expensive, no matter how you do it. But I do think this is a great way to save some money at Disney.
Yeah, and have a great experience, too. Like, I think that there's ways to save money at Disney that I don't want to do. So I've seen a lot of people and what they do budget-wise, and I said this to you, like, I would rather save money on maybe food, right? And not do as many like different expensive meals. Like, there's different ways that I would cut costs at Disney. And I don't think that the actual lodging is ever a place that I would cut.
In a heartbeat, I would give up dining to stay in a nicer place.
That's how I would do it. But then other people do the opposite and they want to stay at a budget offsite maybe in order to spend more in the parks.
And then, of course, many of our listeners just choose to stay at Fort Wilderness, and many of them do that in their Jayco's.
In their Jayco's, like we did a couple
big
years.
Thank you to our friends and sponsors over at Jayco.
Yeah, Jayco has helped generation after generation create family memories since 1968, offering travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, Class C and Class A motorhomes. It's easy to find the perfect Jayco for your family. With an industry-leading 2-year limited warranty, beautiful design, and innovative safety features, you can be confident in your Jayco. Visit your local dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
And we loved renting that J-Flight, that 37-foot triple slide bunkhouse last year at Wilderness Lodge. That was
another person to give a shout out to that we have no kickback from is Meacham's RV Rentals. They just
recommend
did a fantastic job with that, and they didn't know who the heck we were either. So,
yeah, if you want to rent an RV and do Fort Wilderness, we recommend Meacham's. So we'll be back this week with two more Disney episodes. On the next one, we're going to break down differences between Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness, and I'm really excited to talk about that because it's just kind of interesting to talk about the difference between five nights in a hotel and five nights in an RV. And then we'll come back for the third episode this week. We'll talk about our highlights from our Disney trip. We had some awesome dining highlights. And we'll talk a lot about Galaxy's Edge because that's new and exciting. And we didn't do all of it, but we did a whole lot of it and got on the major rides, even though that was like a little bit dramatic and intense. It involved waking up early. So two more Disney episodes left. Happy Disney Week at RV Atlas, everybody.
All right, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.